Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma, Daf Chavav. We will begin on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. The Kulei Alma, everybody agrees. The Kulei Alma means everybody agrees. The Rosh Kar Bereisha, that the first limb that's brought on the Mizbeach is the head. Ask the Gemara Manola, from where do we know this? The Tanya says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us. Menayim l'rosh u'peder. From where do we know that the head and the fat we're talking about here is the heart fat, which are found on top of the intestines, shekoydim l'chol eivorim, that those were the first of the limbs brought on the mizbeach. Tamalayim, because it says in the pasuk, es roshay ves pidroy, the head and the fat, v'orach, that should be first put on the mizbeach. So Tosfos asks, if the halacha is that the fats always have to be put on together with the head, why doesn't the Mishnah mention the fats? So Tosfos answers that since the fats, these peder, always travel together with the Rosh, there is no need for the Mishnah to specifically mention them. When saying the Rosh, the peder is automatically included. Ask the Gemara. But the Pasuk, there's another Pasuk that mentions the peder. Vidach peder chachrina, the other Pasuk that mentions the peder, there's another Pasuk that says, es ha-nesachim, es ha-roish, ves ha-peder, l'may asa. Why, what does that Pasuk come to teach us? So as Rashi explains, the reason the Pasuk has to mention roish, the head, twice, is because one would think that since the head is not skinned, therefore the halachas that apply to the nesachim, that apply to the pieces of meat that are put on the mizbeach, do not apply to the rosh, because only pieces of meat that are skinned have that halacha. So that's why the Torah has to mention rosh a second time. But the peder that does come from an area which is skinned, ask the Gemara, l'may asa, why does the Torah have to mention the peder twice? Answers the Gemara l'chetanya, as we learned in the Braisa, kaitzet ho'inoisa, how was the head and the peder put onto the mizbeach? Noisin as a peder beis hashchita, they would put the fat on top of the place where there was the incision, where the shechita took place, u'maleyu, and like that they would put it on the mizbeach. Zeu derech kovet shamal, and this is the most respectful way to put it on the mizbeach. So Rashi says that why is this the most respectful way? Because the base of shechita, where the incision for the shechita was made, was messy from the blood coming out from that spot, so it was covered up with the fats. The Meshech Chachma gives a different explanation. He says, the Torah says, V'esh al mizbeach tukad, the fire in the mizbeach should burn, loy sichbe, it should not be extinguished. One may not do anything to extinguish the fire on the mizbeach. Says the Meshech Chachma, were we to leave the head and the place of the incision of the shechita open, with the blood running out onto the mizbeach, that blood may extinguish the fire on the mizbeach. So we cover the incision area with the fats, with the peder, to prevent the blood from oozing out onto the mizbeach and extinguishing the fire. And that is the cover of the mizbeach to make sure that the fire on the mizbeach remains burning. The Mishnah continues in teaching us about the various lotteries. Hapayis Shlishi, the third lottery, was chadoshim l'ktoiris, people who had never done ktoiris previously, bov afis, who should come join the lottery to be able to do the ktoiris. Brevius, and the fourth pious, was chadoshim and yeshorim, both people who had previously done this avoida, who not previously done the avoida, mi mala evarim and akevis l'mizbeach, who will have the privilege of bringing up the limbs from the ramp to the mizbeach. There's machloikis harishonim. What does this mean? Doesn't mean that, as we learned earlier, the limbs were brought halfway up the kevis And now this pious was for who would bring it, the second half, the upper half of the ramp? Or does this include that actually bringing the Avram Adam Mizbeach, the one who would have the privilege of putting the Avram to be burnt on Mizbeach? Rashi learns that this refers to the actual burning on the Mizbeach. The Ritva learns that it's referring to who would carry it to the upper half on the Mizbeach. The Rishonim point out that shouldn't the third pious have been who will bring the Avram to the Mizbeach, and the fourth pious should be the Ketoris? So the Ketoris Rishonim says that the burning of the Ketoris took place before the Ketoris Avram, and that's why the pious, the lottery for the Ketoris, took place before the lottery for Ketoris Avram. The Tosfos Yontif tells us that on a day where there was a Karban Musaf, these Avram were put on the east side. On a day that there wasn't a Karban Musaf, the Avram were left on the west side. Going back to something we discussed at the beginning of the Perek, according to the Ramban, who says that this Perek even refers to Yom Kippur, and that even on Yom Kippur there was a need to make a pious, he explains how each one of the pious, each one of the various lotteries we've been discussing, would apply on Yom Kippur. So he says, Trumas Hadeshin was the first lottery, and Trumas Hadeshin did not have to be done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. In the second lottery, although most of the work of the Karban Tamid was done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, however, the Dishim Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Dishim HaMenorah did not have to be done by the Kohen Gadol, and for that we had the second pious. The third pious, which referred to the Ketoris on Yom Kippur, although the Kohen Gadol did the Ketoris, carrying the shovel of coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzoy to Mizbeach HaPnimi was not done by the Kohen Gadol, and for that we had the fourth pious. The third pious. The fourth pious of Mimal Avram Min HaMizbeach LeKeves either was for the Avram that were there from Erev Yom Kippur, or according to the Rishonim that hold that the Avram that were there from before Yom Kippur may not be burnt on Yom Kippur, that is only if the day before Yom Kippur was not Shabbos. But if the day before Yom Kippur was Shabbos, everybody agrees that the Avram that were there from before Yom Kippur may be burnt on Yom Kippur, and that was what the fourth pious was for. Tana, says the Gemara, we learned in a Braisa, Ma'olam Lashana Adamba. A person never did the Ketoris two times. My Tama, what's the reason? Amrav Chanina Mimnesha Ma'asheris. It brings prosperity to the one that performs it, and we wanted to give everybody an opportunity to have that prosperity. So the Sfas Emes says that now we could understand, based on this Gemara, why the Kohen Gadol is an exception to this rule, and the Kohen Gadol may do Ketoris more than just once. Because as we learned earlier in our Masechta, the Pasuk says, V'hakoyen ha-Gadol me'echov, and we learned, Gadleyu mishal'echov, we have the obligation, the Kohanim had the obligation to make sure that the Kohen Gadol was a wealthy man, so they were more than happy that the Kohen Gadol should bring the Ketoris often. That's how he would become wealthy, and they would not have to use their own funds for the Kohen Gadol getting wealthy. The Chasam Sofer says, it's hard to understand. Here we have all the avoiders that are done in the Beis HaMikdash that we've been discussing about and will discuss. And is it so appropriate that just the one avoider, Shema Sheris, that brings prosperity, we should find it with so much anxiety and there was such a great desire amongst the Kohanim to do that avoider? Does it speak well of the Kohanim that they're only interested in doing an avoider that brings wealth? So Chasam Sofer says that it's not the wealth that is what the Kohanim are looking for. The wealth that is represented by bringing the Ketoris is because it's a bracha in the Torah. So when somebody has a desire to bring the Torah to get wealthy, what he's in essence saying is, I believe everything that says in the Torah. That if the Torah says that by bringing the Torah, that's the way I'm going to become wealthy, I believe what the Torah says. That's why the bringing the Torah and wanting to get wealthy through the Torah is very admirable. We have already quoted that the Ramah quotes the Rabbeinu Peretz, that based on our Gemara, just like our Gemara says, that the same Kohen should not bring the Torah more than once to give everybody a chance to get wealthy. Similarly, one person should not be a tzaddik in a family more than once. The Gra asks a number of questions on the Ramah. He says, if that were the case, then a person should never agree to be a tzaddik more than once in his entire life. Why does the Ramah limit that a person shouldn't be a tzaddik in one family more than once? If it's like the Torah, he should never be a tzaddik more than once altogether. And the Noda Behuda also says that certainly the Rav of a city has a right to be a tzaddik by a family more than once. As the Chasam Sof explains the Noda Behuda, it's similar to what we just explained about the Kohen Gadol. Just like a Kohen Gadol is not limited to bringing the Torah once, the Rav of a town is like the Kohen Gadol of that town, and he could bring a tzaddik more than once. Similarly, the Pesukim say, were a father of a child interested in being a tzaddik more than once in his family, he would also be allowed to, because he's like the Kohen Gadol, it's his to give out. The Gra, however, says that the basis for the Ramah is not a Rabbeinu Peretz. He says it's a Rabbeinu Yehuda Chosid, not connected to our Gemara, just that Rabbeinu Yehuda Chosid says that a person should not be a tzaddik more than once in a family. The Gra also asks, if the Ramah is correct in saying that tzaddikos is like Torah, so why, asks the Gra, do we find that people have the kibbutz of tzaddik and don't become wealthy? So the Chasam Sof answers that although wealth is the schooler that comes from tzaddikos and from Torah, nevertheless, when somebody has a virus or other onshim, other punishments that might have come to him, by being a tzaddik, those averus have a kapara, or those punishments don't come, and that is greater and more of a schus than becoming wealthy. Other mefarshim say that the bruch of tzaddikos is not financial wealth, that he should actually become wealthy, have more money, more assets, but the bruch of tzaddikos, the bruch of victorious, is as it says in Pirkei Avos, Ezu Asher Hasameich Bechelkoi, that he'd be happy with what he has. That's the bracha, and that bracha does come to a tzaddik or to somebody who brings the Torah. Amalei Rapapa L'Abaya. So Rapapa said to Abaya, my Tama, why do we say the Torah brings prosperity? Mishum the Ksiv, because it says in the Pasuk, Yusimu Ktorah Bapecha, they will bring the Torah, the Ksiv Basrei, and afterwards the Pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Cheloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless his resources. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi Oila Nami, the same should be by Karban Oila, because the Pasuk also says, V'ksiv Echola Mizbechecha, and something which is completely burnt on the Mizbeach will also bring this bracha. Amalei, Sabaya answered, Ha Shchiach, Karban Oila comes frequently, V'hola Shchicha, Karban Ktaris doesn't come frequently. So the way Rashi explains, that the Ktaris only comes twice a day, and it cannot be brought b'nedava. One cannot donate k'tiris. So since it's something that comes in frequently, that's where there's a bracha. Rashi says it doesn't make sense to say that the carbon oiler brings wealth, because the carbon oiler would come so often. Besides that it's brought twice a day as a carbon tamid, a carbon oiler could be donated. So it doesn't make sense to say that a carbon oiler brings this bracha. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos Yeshanim has a different explanation. Tosfos Yeshanim says that a carbon oiler does bring wealth, not like Rashi. He says a carbon oila does bring wealth. But a person doesn't have to rely on the lottery to win the opportunity to bring the carbon talmud for that wealth. A person could bring a carbon oila on his own, and that's how he'll get the wealth. Hashchicha, he has an opportunity to bring the carbon oila by himself and doesn't have to rely on the lottery, and that's why we don't need this. The Ritva, along the same line of the Tosfos Rishonim, says that the carbon oila brings wealth. However, since the carbon oila was brought so often, so certainly all kahanim had the chance to bring a carbon oila in their experience, and there was no need for them to bring it separately to bring for the pious. And if we would only limit the pious for carbon oila to people who never brought a carbon oila, there would be very few candidates. However, the Torah, which as we just explained, came so much less frequently, so there are more candidates that never brought it, and that's why the Goyal limited the Torah to people who never brought it previously. Amar Rava, Lamishkachas Suvar Rabban and Amari, we don't find a Talmud Chacham who could decide halacha, El Da'os Meshev Levi, either he comes from Shevi Levi, or Meshev Yisachsa, or he comes from Shevi Yisachsa. Levi Diksiv, regarding Shevi Levi, it's a Yorim Mishpatech Yaakov, they are the one that teach the halachas to Klai Yisrael, the rules to Klai Yisrael, Yisachar Diksiv, or B'nai Yisachsa, Yudei Bina Le'itim, they know the times, they can figure out the Jewish calendar, Radas Mayas Yisrael, they know what Klai Yisrael should do. Ask the Gemara, Vehem Yehuda Nami, perhaps it should also include Shev Yehuda, Diksiv Yehuda Mechaikiki. Yehuda is the lawgiver. And says Rava, a sukkah shmeitza, leave it a helchasa kamina. I mean, somebody could explain the halacha lemaisa to know how one should act, the Ritva explains. That goes to Shev and Levi and Yisoscha. And the Mefarshim explain what is so unique about Shev and Levi and Yisoscha. They explain that we find that these two Shvatim were prepared to be Maisa Nefesh, prepared to do everything for Limud HaTorah, or for Kiyum HaMitzvahs, as we find by Shevet Levi. After Klai Yisrael did the Aveira of the Eagle, it was Shevet Levi. He didn't care who his family was. Mila Hashem Elai, he was ready to take revenge for the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the same Shevet Yisoscha, it says, V'ya menucha kitayv, he saw that how great it is to take rest. V'yeit shichma lizbal, however, he took on the yoke of Torah. V'yeit shichma lizbal, he took on the yoke of Torah to learn Torah and not to enjoy this world. People, shvatim, who are prepared to give up this world for Limud HaTorah are the people who are zoicha to be the Hamayra HaRoah in Klal Yisrael. Mefarshim ask that certainly we see that it's not limited to the Shvatim. We certainly see that Limud HaTorah and being Rabbanim are in other Shvatim. So what's Pshat in our Gemara? So two answers I saw. One answer is the Gemara says Lamishkachas Tzuvim Rabbanim. Tzuvim Rabbanim means somebody is young. These Shvatim have the schus that not only are they become Talmidei Chachamim and Meirei HaRoah, but they have the schus to become these Meirei HaRoah when they're young. They say, the Mefarshim explain, when they're under 40 years old. Others say that certainly all Shvatim produced Talmidei Chachamim and Meirei HaRoah. But the other Shvatim did not produce the majority of Meirei HaRoah. The majority of Meirei HaRoah were from these two Shvatim. The Mefarshim ask that the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that David, regarding David HaMelech, halacha kamaisa b'kamakim, that halacha is like David HaMelech in every place, although David was not from these two Shvatim. So Mefarshim say that although David HaMelech from his father's side was from Shevet Yehuda, his mother's, he did come from Shevet Levi, because his great-great-grandfather was Nachshon, who married Miriam, who was from Shevet Levi. So he did have a connection to Shevet Levi, and since he had a connection to Shevet Levi, that's why he halakha kamaisa b'kamakim. Other Mefarshim say it was because he was the Melech, and given that he was the king, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the bracha that halakha kamaisa b'kamakim. The Ben Yoyada says that the word Yisrael begins with the letter Yud and ends with the letter Lamed. Yud represents Yisachar, Lamed represents Levi. The two Shvatim that our Gemara just taught us were the Shvatim who were the Rabbanon, who were the Meira Hira and Klal Yisrael. Yud and Lamed, the Meira Hira, the Rabbanon and Klal Yisrael, are what keep Klal Yisrael, what keeps Yisrael together. They're the glue that keeps Klal Yisrael together. We've till now been speaking about the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, there was no separate lottery made for the Tamid Shebein Abayim. El Koyin Shezochba B'Shachris, the Koyin that won the lottery to do it in the morning, Zochba Arvis, is the same Koyin that had the opportunity to do it in the afternoon. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Kshem Shemafisim Shachris, just like there was a girl in the morning, Kach Mefisa Ben Bayim, so too there was a girl in the afternoon. Answers the Gemara, Ki Tanyahi, regarding what does that price mean? The Ktiris. As we just explained before, the Ktiris that had this great schus that it made wealthy, and it didn't come often, that did have a separate girl for the afternoon, but not any other avodah. And the Noida Behuda says, not that there was a new goyrel done in the afternoon for the Ktiris. Just in the morning, when they did the goyrel, who would have the privilege to bring the Ktiris in the morning? At the same time, they would also do a goyrel, who will have the schus to do the Ktiris in the afternoon? Ask the Gemara for Tanya, there's a different braisa that says, Kshem Shemefisan Loi Shachris, just like a girl was done in the morning, Kach Mefisan Loi Arvis, so too it was done in the afternoon. And as Tosfos explains, Loi is a Lashon Zachar. Karban Tamid, regarding a Karban Tamid, the word Loi, Lashon Zachar, is appropriate. But Tyrus should be Lo, Lashon Nekeva. So if this braisa is using a Lashon Zachar, it must be that the Brice is referring to Karban Tamid. And the Brice says that there was a separate lottery for the afternoon. Amos answers the Gemara, we should change the wording of this Brice and say law. That the Brice is a Lashon Nekeva and it's referring to the Ktiris, which indeed did have a separate pious for the afternoon Ktiris. Ask the Gemara Vatanya, but there's another Brice. The Brice says, Kishem Shemifaisen Loi Shachris, Kach Mefaisen Loi. Something Lashon Zachar. Continues the Braisa, Ukshem Mefaisim, Lo Shachris, Kach Mefaisim, Lo Arvis. So here the Braisa is talking about Loi and Lo. Lo means the Ktiris, Loi means the carbon. And this Braisa clearly says that in the afternoon there was a separate pious for the carbon in the afternoon. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak, Hocha B'Shabbos Eskinen. This Braisa is referring to Shabbos. Hoyle and Mishmaros Mischachos. That's when there was a new group of Kahanim that took over. As we have explained, the Kahanim were divided into 24 Mishmaros, into 24 groups. Every day of every week was a different Mishmar. Every day of the week was a different Beis Av, a different family. And in the afternoon of Shabbos, that's when there would be a turnover of the shifts. The old shift, the old Mishmar would leave and the new Mishmar would come in. So certainly the Tamid Shel Shachar of Shabbos was brought by the old Mishmar. The Tamid Shel Ben Abayim was brought by the new Mishmar. And that's why in Shabbos they certainly had to have two lotteries for different Kabbalahs. The Yishonim discusses who brought the Karban Musaf. And the Rambam says that whoever was privileged to do any of the specific avoidas in the Tamid Shel Shachar, those were the people that brought the Karban Musaf. Ask the Gemara, Olamai B'Solka Dat Mikara, that we had a Havamina, that there was a separate Goyrol in the afternoon, Nefishal Pisces, there'll be many more Goyrolas than were originally identified. We said many times in our Mishnais and in the Gemara in this Perek that there were four Goyrolas every day. There were four lotteries every day. But according to this approach, there were more than four lotteries in the day. There would be in the morning and the afternoon. Answers the Gemara, even if we'll say that there was a separate on Gairul in the afternoon. Maisa Kula Mitzafrasa. All of the Kohanim would gather in the morning. The Zacha Be'Shar, whoever would be privileged to do Avoid in the morning would be privileged. The Zacha Be'Avizachi, whoever would be privileged to do an afternoon Avoid would be privileged. But all of the Gerolas would take place in the morning. There's a Machlokes Rishonim, what indeed was the status regarding the Ketores, L'maskonis HaGemara. Some Rishonim, the Ben Chananel and the Rambam, learned that since the Ketores was this unique Avoida, as we discussed earlier, there was a separate Gairul for the privilege to bring the Ketores in the morning and the Ketores in the afternoon. The Taisus Surash learned that for the Ketores of the afternoon, there was no separate pious, that the person who won the Ketores in the morning did in the afternoon also. Another pshat that Rishonim say is that not the same kohen who did the Ketores in the morning did in the afternoon, but there was no separate pious for the Ketores in the afternoon. Rather, whoever won the privilege to do the Ketores in the morning, the kohen standing to his immediate right won the right to do the Ketores in the afternoon. Harvi, the fourth girl we learned was Chadashim and Yishonim, everybody could come back to join in this Goyrel. Who is going to bring up the limbs from the bottom half of the keves of the ram to the upper half? Says the Gemara, Masnisin the like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Our Gemara is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanan we learned in a Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Hamalei Varam Lekeves, the person who brought the limbs on the bottom half of the ramp, he's the one that took it to the upper half. So, like Rashi explains, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that they were not brought up in one time from the bottom to the top. He agrees that they were brought up in two parts, first half and then the upper half. Just Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees, and we'll see soon in a moment why, that versus the Tan of our Mishnah, who says different Kahanim brought it to the bottom half and different Kahanim to the upper half, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it was the same Kahanim that brought it to the bottom half and to the upper half. Why were it not brought in one time all the way up? So Rashi explains, because the keves was quite long, it was 32 amos long, it was difficult to carry up these limbs in one time, and that's why it was brought up in two times. The Gruas Ari, based on Rabbeinu Eliyakim, Arishin, has a different explanation why it was not brought up in one time, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that the same Kahanim brought it up from the bottom, and it wasn't a separate set of Kahanim that brought it up, the upper half of the ramp. He explains, we wanted that the limbs should be in salt. We also needed that the Kohanim who were doing the Avodah with the Korban Tamid should have the opportunity to say Krishma and to say the Seraphs of Dibris. Therefore, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that the Kohanim carried the limbs up halfway up the ramp, put them into piles of salt, at the heaps of salt that were on the ramp, went off to the side to say Krishma and the Seraphs of Dibris and give the meat a chance to lose its blood by sitting in the salt, and then these Kohanim came back and carried up the Avrim to the upper half of the Mizbeach. The Rishonim point out that the Machloikis of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Tan of our Mishnah, if it was brought up in one time or in two times, is only regarding the various limbs, the various cuts of meat. But the other items that were brought on the Mizbeach, whether it was the bowl of water for Nisach HaMayim, whether it was the wine, whether it was the flour, the Karma Chavitin, all the other types of items that were mentioned in the previous Mishnah, they were not brought up in two separate shifts. They were brought up from the top to the bottom in one time. Says the Gemara, what is the machloikis of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that the same Kahanim were the ones that carried it in the bottom half and the upper half, and the Tana of our Mishnah who holds it was two different sets of Kahanim. Masover, the Tana of our Mishnah holds Beroiv Am Hadras Melech. It's more appropriate that the Avodah should be done by many people. So that's why we have two separate sets of Kahanim carrying up the limbs. Or Masover Makam Shechina Lav Arach Ara. It's not appropriate to give the impression that it's a difficult job to carry up the limbs. So if the same Kahanim carry it, it makes a better impression. It's not showing Chas V'Shalom as if it's a difficulty for them to carry it up. Tosfos says, we learned in Masechet Pesachim that on Erev Pesach, when they brought the Karban Pesach, there was an assembly line that the bowls of blood from the Karban Pesach were passed from one kohen to another kohen up till the Mizbeach. Explains Tosfos, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who in our Gemara is saying that it should not be the same Kahanim carrying it up the first half as the Kahanim carrying it up the second half, because it's not nice. It's only there, it's only in our Mishnah, says Tosfos, where it would seem that these Kahanim aren't interested, don't want to do any more Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. But there, since the Kahanim are staying occupied the entire time carrying the bowls of blood to the Mizbeach, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will agree to the concept of Beroiv Am Hadras Melech, and therefore Beroiv Am Hadras Melech, and therefore he will agree that it went with assembly line. And the Paiskim actually discuss, from the way Tosfos explains, everybody agrees to the concept of Beroiv Am Hadras Melech. It's only a question in a situation where there's another concern, Lav Arich Ara, do I follow Barayv Am Hadras Melech? And that's why the Paiskim, since we see that this Barayv Am Hadras Melech is such an important concept, teach us that, let's say, in a shul where there are more than one chiv that has to daven, that has to be Shlich Tzibur, it's better, they say, not to separate into two separate minyanim, rather they should, the chiyuvim should daven different parts of the tefillah. One should daven the first part of the tefillah, the other one should daven Asher V'Olot Tzion, because davening Beroiv Am Hadras Melech is most appropriate. Amar Rava. So Rava says, just to introduce what Rava said, teaches us now. Yesterday we learned the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who taught us that there was the Kayin who did the Ktiris, brought along with him another Kayan to carry the coals from the Mizbech HaChitz to Mizbech HaPnimi, but he says there was no separate pious, there was no separate Goyrel for that privilege. Says Rava, Lord Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Islay Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov cannot agree with Rabbi Yehuda, for Lord Rabbi Yehuda Islay Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Not Rabbi Yehuda will agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Then came, because if they're going to agree with each other, but Shloi Paisis, there won't be four lotteries. So the explanation is as follows. Our Mishnah identified the fourth pious being Min Mala Avarim Lemizbeach. Who's going to carry up the which Kohanah will carry the limbs on the upper half of the Mizbeach? But as we just learned, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does not agree to that there were four that there was that pious, that there were different Kohanim carrying it up the upper half. So what must be the fourth pious, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? The fourth pious must be who's going to carry the machta, who's going to carry the coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzin to the Mizbeach HaPnimi. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there was no lottery for the privilege of carrying the coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzin to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, must hold that there were a separate Kahanim carrying the limbs on the upper half of the keves, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Says Rava, v'mishkach the Tana, the Tani Chamish, if we find a Tana who says that there were five Gairolas, Hahuda like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, like Rabbi Yehuda. He won't be that like Rabbi Elazar, like Rabbi Yehuda. He will have to hold that there were two Pisces. The fourth Pisces will have been who carries the coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzin to Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the fifth Pisces, not like Rabbi Yehuda, and the fifth pious will be which Kohen will carry the limbs to the upper half, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Ask Tosfos, perhaps the Tana who says there were five pious would be a Tana who holds that there was a pious both in the morning and in the afternoon, a subject that we discussed just before on Amar Aleph. So Tosfos says, two reasons why that can't be. Number one, we're saying if you'll find a Tana that says there were five Goyrolas, there were five lotteries in the morning, and this would require lotteries in the afternoon. Another thing Taisu says, if there were separate Pisces in the morning and in the afternoon, then there wouldn't have been just five Pisces, there would have been six. Four in the morning and two in the afternoon. One for the Talmud Sheben Abayim and one for the Tyrus. So if he holds this Tana that we're trying to identify, holds that there were separate Goyrolos in the afternoon, then he wouldn't hold there were only five. He would hold there were only six. Mashah asks on Taisus, and the Mashah says that perhaps he'll hold that there was separate Paisos in the morning and in the afternoon, but he will hold also like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and like Rabbi Yehuda that there was no separate pious for the Machta, and there was no separate pious for carrying the Avarim up the ramp, the upper half of the ramp. So there are only three Paisos, there are only three Goyrolos in the morning, two more in the afternoon, and that's how we would have five. Continues the Mishnah in discussing how many Kohanim were involved in bringing the Karban Tamid. Tamid Karbatisha. The Karban Tamid is brought by nine Kohanim. So as Rashi explains, normally it's brought by nine because our Mishnah is not referring to the first four Kohanim of the 13 that were mentioned in the Mishnah in Daf Chaf Hei. The first four were the Shoichet Zoyrik, Medashim Mizbech Apnimi, Medashim Menaira. So we take 13 minus 4, we start from the actual Avoida on the carbon itself, we have 9 Kohanim. Sometimes there were Sarah, sometimes there were 10, and sometimes there were Achras, and sometimes there were 11, and sometimes the Shnei Mois, and sometimes the 12. Loi Pachas, there were never less than 9. For Loi Yosin, there were never more than 12. Ketzad. What does that mean? Atzmai. The carbon itself, Betisha, requires 9 people. What are the 9 people? 5 people carrying the limbs, the 6th person carrying the kerbayim, the insides, and then you have somebody carrying the silas, somebody is 7, somebody carrying the yayin is 8, and somebody carrying the chavitin is 9. Rashi says that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that did not have a separate set of kahanim who would carry the Avarim to the upper half of the kevis. Taisus, on the other hand, says that our Mishnah could be talking even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but, says Taisus, it could theoretically come out that the same Kohanim who won the Goyrol to carry up the limbs to the first half of the Mizbeach, first half of the ramp, could win the ability, the privilege to carry it in the second half. So then you would end up only having 9 Kohanim. The Ritva says, again, that our Mishnah doesn't necessarily have to follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shita. Our Mishnah is only talking about the first wave of Avoida with the Talmud. It could be that our Mishnah is not referring to the second part of carrying the limbs on the upper half of the ramp. Bechag, on Sukkot, B'yat Achad, one of the Kohanim carried at Tzluchah Shamayim, a bowl of water for Nisach Hamayim. Harei Kanasaurus, we have 10 people. Bein Arbayim, on the afternoon, every day, B'achar Asa, we have 11 Kohanim. Hu Atzmi B'tisha, the carbon itself was brought up by 9 people, as we explained earlier. And then, we also had to have Shnayim, 2 Kohanim, each carrying, B'yodim Shnei Gzira Yitzim, carrying 2 blocks of wood. B'Shabbos, on Shabbos B'achar Asar. The carbon tamid shel shachar, even the morning tamid required 11 kahanim. Hu atzma betisha, the carbon itself required 9 kahanim. V'shnayim b'yodim shnei b'zicha levayna shalachim aponim. And then there were 2 kahanim that carried the spice levayna that was on top of the shulchan that was burnt on Shabbos. And the Mefarshim say that even though there were 2 kahanim that carried the b'zicha levayna, it was the burning of both of these bezichei spoonfuls of levayna took place at the same time. On Shabbos of Sukkot, there was another kohen to carry b'yad achad shluch shemayim to carry the bowl of water for the nusach hamayim. Amar Rav Abba v'taymer Rama b'chama v'taymer Rav Yochanan. Ein menaschem mayim b'chag, nusach hamayim took place el b'tamid shachar, only by the morning. Memai, What's the proof? Midaktani, from what we just learned in our Mishnah. Over Shabbos, B'toche Chag, Shabbos Sukkos, B'yad Achad Shlucha Shomayim. One of the Kahanim carried the water for the Nisach HaMayim. That's how we have 12 Kahanim. 9 of the regular carbon, 2 for the Levoina, and 1 for the Tzlucha Shomayim. Says the Gemara, V'isakadata B'tamit Shabana Bayim Menaschin, if we're going to say that Nisach HaMayim also took place in the afternoon, B'chol Nami Mishkachsla, that even on the weekday of Sukkot, we would find that many Kahanim. Because we would have always in the afternoon, we explained our Mishnah, we have 11 Kahanim. And if Nisach HaMayim took place in the afternoon, then there would be a 12th Kohen. So every time on Sukkot, on the afternoon, there would be 12 Kahanim. If our Mishnah only said that it happened on Shabbos, it must be because the Nisach HaMayim only took place in the morning, and that's why on Shabbos in the morning, there were 12 Kahanim on Sukkot. Amar Ravashi, Afanan Namatnina. I'll bring you another proof that Nisach HaMayim only took place in the morning. Because Nisach HaMayim is not stated explicitly in the Torah. The way we know that Nisach HaMayim took place is because we learn a drasha. There's an extra mem, an extra yud, an extra mem in the pasuk mayim to teach us Nisach HaMayim is done in Sukkos. The tzedakim who do not believe in Torah Shebapeh did not subscribe to Nisach HaMayim. So the braisa teaches us Lemanasech, the Mishnah Masechta teaches tells us Lemanasech, the Kohen who was given the job of pouring the water, Omerlo, we tell him Hagbe Yotcha, lift your hands and let us see you pour the water on the Mizbeach. Shepam Achas Nisach Agabe Raglav. One time there was a Kohen who was a Tzedaki who did not believe in Nisach HaMayim and he poured it on his feet rather on the Mizbeach. V'ragmu Kol Ambes Roigeim. And everybody pelted this Kohen with their esrogim. Shmam enough, from here we see that was done in the morning. Because as Rashi explains, when do people have their esrogim? They have their esrogim in the morning. So the Ritva asks, who says it was because they were throwing their esrogim at this Kohen because of what he did, that he didn't do Nisach HaMayim? Maybe they didn't have the proper respect for their esrogim. So Ritva says, this is the proper respect for an esrig. To take an esrig that is a dorish of kedusha and throw it at somebody who violates what the Torah wants us to do, Nisach HaMayim, that is the greatest respect. The Mefarshim ask that the Gemara says that Anshei Yerushalayim, the people of Yerushalayim, who loved so much the mitzvah of Dalam Minim, would carry their esrogim all day long. So they ask the Tosfos Yeshanim, what's the proof that Nisach HaMayim took place in the morning? Perhaps it took place in the afternoon, and they had their esrogim with them all day, even in the afternoon. So the Tosfos Yeshanim answers that even if they carried the Dalam Minim all day, they would not have their esrogim in the Beis HaMikdash in the afternoon. They would only have their esrogim in the Beis HaMikdash in the morning, which is a Zman Tefillah, and the esrog has to be brought along to have the Nanuim by Halal. The Rishash answers that our Gemara uses the terminology V'ragmur Kolam. Everybody threw the esrogim. Who carried the esrogim all day? Only the Anshei Yerushalayim. Only the distinguished people. Our Gemara, the Mishnah that our Gemara is quoting, isn't only referring to distinguished people. So it must be in the morning where everybody has their esrog. Tanya. So we learned in the Braisa. We learned in our Mishnah that two Kahanim carry the Shnei Gzir Eitzim, the two blocks of wood, onto the Mizbeach in the afternoon. Tanya. Rav Shimon Yochai Omer, Menayin L'Tamid Shben Abayim. How do we know about Tamid Shben Abayim Shetan Shnei Gzira Eitzim Shnei Kahanim, that the two blocks of wood are carried by two Kahanim? Shnemer V'Orchel Eitzim. The pasuk says they should arrange the wood. Loshen Rabim, plural. It means two Kahanim. Now, Im Eina Inyan L'Tamid Shel Shachar. The pasuk can't be referring to the morning, because in the morning it says Oviyaleh Koyin Eitzim Baboyke Baboyke V'Orcheleh, that one Koyin prepares and brings the Shnei Gzira Eitzim. Tnayin Yotam Shben Abayim, then in the afternoon, two Kahanim carried it. Ask the Gemara, Ve'imi Idvi Idvi Tamid Shel Shachar, perhaps both Pesukim are talking about the Tamid Shel Shachar, Vom Rachman Ovid, and perhaps what the Torah meant is that one Shekoyin should carry one set of blocks, for Hada Ovid, another Koyin should carry another set of blocks. Answers the Gemara, if that's what the Torah meant, im kein neimakro uvir uvir. The Torah should have used the Lashon Yachid both times. One carrying the blocks, and another coin carrying the blocks. Says the Gemara, ikas rachman uvir, if the Torah would have used the word uvir, the same word twice, have him in a chadin, that I would say one kohen should put the blocks the second time. Betray loy. It shouldn't be two separate kohanim. So I would say that the blocks should be put by one kohen two separate times. Kamash Moran, that's why the Torah says beer twice. The nevet chad. First one kohen should do it. The nevet tray. And then the second kohen should do the second set. If it said both losh and yochid, I would think that both times you only use one kohen. Says the Gemara, if what the Pasuk is trying to teach us is that first one kohen should take up a set of blocks, and that then two kohanim should take up a set of blocks, im kein neimakro uvir uviro. The Torah should use the same word uvir, just the first time the Torah should use it in the singular uvir, and the second time the Torah should use it in the plural uviro. Unami, or another way we would have gotten that message, is v'arach v'archu. The Torah should use the same word v'arach, just the first time we would have said in the singular, one kohen carrying it, and the second time the plural, many, more than one kohen carrying it. My uviru v'archu. Archu, why, besides that the Torah changing from the singular to the plural, the Torah also changed the language it uses. It changes from the word uvir to the word v'arach. Shmamina, it must be k'karmina that the Torah is telling us that in the afternoon, two kahanim are required, not in the morning. Tani Rav Chiya, pious pum shloish asa. Sometimes we need to select 13 kahanim with the pious pum arba asa. Sometimes 14 pum chamish asa. Sometimes 15 pum shish asa. Sometimes 16. The difference between the brice and the mishnah is that the brice includes the first four kahanim who were included in the lottery that did the shchita zrika. Dishin Mizbeich HaPnimi and the Dishin HaMenorah. Ask the Gemara, V'tanya Shivasa, but we learned in a different brisa that 17 Kohanim are chosen. How do we get to 17? Our Mishnah said the most is 12. 12 plus 4 would equal 16. Answers the Gemara, Ahud Loi Krab Elez Ben Yaakov. That brisa doesn't go according to Elez Ben Yaakov, Ela Krab Yehuda. It doesn't refer to the Kohen who carried the Avrim on the upper half of the Mizbeach, like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov said there was no separate kohen. It goes according to Amanda Omer that there was an additional kohen, like Rav Yehuda taught us, that Rav Yehuda, who disagrees with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that carried the Avrim on the upper half of the Mizbeach.